Hour number deuce here. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that through the Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com. The Odyssey app, wherever you get yours, give Casey about 15, 20 minutes. He'll get that up for you. And if you can't wait that long, well, jump on the Odyssey app or the YouTube. 1051 The Fan is the channel. You can rewind, fast forward, except for in the future. For that would be impossible. We'll hang out in the NBA here for a little bit this hour. We'll kind of see how things go. I do want to try to get to that AP poll in college football. And Danny asked the question, which I continue to ask as well, why this team is continually ranked as high as they are. We'll get into that hopefully sometime this hour. If not, we'll push it to the big nooner. But a little bit of breaking news here. There's a lot of conflicting things going around, but sources are saying that the NBA has found no evidence showing the Los Angeles Clippers owner Steve Ballmer funneled money through team sponsors to pay Kawhi Leonard in order to circumvent the salary cap. Instead, the NBA is focused on whether the team's introduction of Kawhi to team sponsors constitutes a violation of the league's rules prohibiting salary cap circumvention.
But, again, this reporting
Don't those sound like the same thing?
Yeah.
Those sound like the same thing to me.
Shout out,
we don't think you did this, but we think you did this.
No, so, number one, the reporting is coming from ESPN. It's Don Van Natta, Baxter Holmes, and Ramona Shelburne. But shout out Casey Holdall, who basically quote-tweeted this, was like, this is the scene from Clear and Present Danger when the president sweeps an illegal war under the rug because the country can't afford another scandal.
Right.
It's like, what is happening here? So we're getting this reporting from ESPN. That comes out, and not shortly after, this is 30 minutes ago, spokesperson for the NBA, Mike Bass, ESPN's article regarding the Clippers investigation, for which the NBA declined to cooperate, contains numerous and significant inaccuracies. The results in this matter will be made clear once the investigation is concluded. What?
Did the NBA director of communication just come out and say that there are some inaccuracies in the statement that's been made?
But the story from ESPN, I'm just like, but they just said that there's no wrongdoing. Like,
funny you mentioned that the NBA can't handle another scandal, right? Okay, that's maybe the let's say that's the thought behind sweeping this under the rug.
Sure, because guess what? There's another one coming with Mark Walter and the Lakers, bro.
Yes, I know.
And Matt Ishbia and the Suns.
Yeah, and we'll get to Ishbia here in a moment. But my question is though, if they can't afford to have another scandal, this scandal's already out in the open. So in theory,
let this one run its course and overhang over everything else.
That's what I was going to say. If you want to sweep Mark Walter under the rug, if you want to sweep Ishby under the rug, which again, we'll get to both those in a minute.
Let those roll.
Let this one is the most public. Mm-hmm. It has the most eyeballs on it. It is the most egregious. And Pablo and Baxter and to an extent Ramona Shelburne have been all over this story. You got to let this one play out.
Pablo's already quote tweeted with saying, when the time's right, can't wait to share what we have.
When the time is right, I am extremely, extremely excited for our episode about this.
See, and that's what's crazy, because the Ishbia, Walter, Ballmer, they love what Silver's doing because he's protecting them, but he is killing the NBA right now. The look on the league is so bad. Dare I say worse than it's ever been. And that's not even counting what's going on in the W right now, which we do not have time to get into that. But it's like basketball right now, professional basketball in the United States of America, whether it's men's, women's.
Not great, Bob.
It's not great. It looks terrible, and it continues to look worse. Look, now we've got other things. Like, this is why everyone thinks the NBA is rigged. We finally found, guess who has the most benefit of back-to-backs, who they play, travel, TV deals, all that kind of stuff. Who's got the best schedule this year?
Philly.
It's the Sixers.
Weird.
Why? Why is it the Sixers? And number two is the Knicks. Oh, weird. Like, the NBA cannot stop doing things that make people say, I don't trust this league, I don't like the product, and I don't want to be here. Guilty as charged, man. If the Blazers weren't in this town, and the Blazers got their own issues going on right now, if the Blazers weren't in this town, do you think I would watch the NBA?
Probably not.
The answer's no.
All I want to do is point and laugh at Angel Reese smoking a layup.
Are we?
Well, Caitlin did.
Are we nearing the end of the Adam Silver era?
See, but that's the other problem, is that I don't think so, because he's bailing out Walter, Ishbia, Ballmer.
Remember, he works for those guys.
Tom Dundon, for that matter, too. Like, Dundon doesn't look good here.
No.
The ownership in Dallas doesn't look good after trading Luka. The ownership in New Orleans is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
James Dolan is a jerk. Nobody likes him, but he just won a title.
He's running a surveillance state, but they don't care because New York is printing money.
Exactly. Like,
their playoff run made the Knicks another $500 million.
Yeah.
$500 million roughly is what they accounted for the additional revenue in the playoffs and the finals. Like, as long as it keeps printing money, and guess what? You know, the expansion franchises are going to go for $8 billion apiece. That's just the rights to buy the teams. Let's say Vegas and Seattle both sell for $8 billion. That's $16 billion split up among 30 people or 30 teams. Like,
they're going to praise Adam Silver for it.
And guess what, man? Like, every time this happens, they're just going to go, we don't care as long as the money can. Look, man, I'm a capitalist at heart, but boy alive, some of this stuff has got to start mattering. The integrity, the ethos, the identity of sports, it's so venture capitalism driven that it's just become possessed, man. Like, to be clear, it has been for a long time. And this is what I mean when I talk about, like, if I could go back over 15 years ago and unlearning this stuff, it's not just how the sausage is made in the basketball side. It's on the business side, man. It is nasty. Has been, always will be. It's like, but God almighty, can we just do better?
What's the biggest issue going on in the W right now? No one's talking about basketball.
Oh, there's no basketball anywhere.
That's been the problem in the NBA for 10 years, and now it's getting worse. Dude, the New York Knickerbockers won an NBA title for the first time in 50 years, and we've already forgotten. We already don't care. Is there a better story the NBA would want than the Knicks winning a title for the first time in 50 years? There isn't. That's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. That's what they got. And they made Wemby a villain, the future of the NBA. They made the Spurs a villain. Like, they're getting what they want. Mm-hmm. Hallie's out there saying, why am I not on TV? I could have won a finals. SGA saying, sleep on me. Go for it.
But instead, you have 6-7 billionaires.
But we've already forgotten that. Nobody cares that Hallie's coming back. Hell, I might argue, nobody cares LeBron's in Philly.
David Stern would have Latrell Sprewell'd half these freaking...
Without a doubt!
Half these freaking owners at this point in time. Like, that's the thing, is like, we give Adam Silver crap, and I believe rightfully, because he's just weak. Well, David Stern, as much as we like, well, he instituted the dress code, that was racist. And I go, I don't care, because guess what? The league was in a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball mattered under David Stern. Since Silver took over, one of his first moves was getting rid of, rightfully, Donald Sterling.
Without a doubt.
But...
And that was handed to him by David
Stern. Months.
Mm-hmm.
After, was it 3-4 months after he took control? Again, not something he could control, but the bubble. Do you remember the jerseys? Education reform? Stupid things being put on jerseys and just like the bubble itself. Yeah, you've got Kyle Kuzma out here talking about how the bubble was actually a prison. Brother, you were sent off to hang out at Disney World and your dumbass teammates and friends and other players snuck out to Magic City to go get wings at a strip club.
Dude, I want those wings so bad.
It's just become, the basketball is no longer the thing.
No.
It is just a never-ending soap opera of stupidity, and it's being done because the people that are in basketball now, particularly at the very top, don't care.
Well, I think one thing that's interesting, let's look at the text line here, 503-864-6326. It's just this top one. It just simply says football is king. And I find that interesting in this conversation because the NFL has been very good at taking a lot of drama and it not affecting the brand.
Because you know what they do? They push it to the side and they wrangle people. And they go, nope, you're gone, you're out, nope. And they just push it to the side.
And I don't know if the NFL is telling Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady, you know, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, Al Michaels and Herb Street and Tirico and Collinsworth or Joe Buck and Aikman, right? Those are the big sets. I don't know if the NFL is sending them talking points. They might be.
I would bet every penny in my account that they are. And the NBA is doing the same, but nobody's listening because the scandal, like, how many ownership scandals do we have in the NFL right now?
Let's see. Let me look real quick. I think I know the answer, but I want to make sure. Let me do my due diligence. Woody Johnson?
He's just kind
of a
jerk.
Right.
The last one we had was Tepper in Carolina. What ended up happening?
He's gone.
Well, no, he's still there.
But they came down and said...
The NFL said, knock that crap off.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's bad owners in the NFL.
The reason why the Commanders had to sell.
The only
and what ended up happening, again, Gruden still got that lawsuit going.
Mm-hmm. The only ownership scandals we have, mm-hmm. quote unquote, are Tom, mm-hmm. and being involved with the Raiders and on TV, mm-hmm. and Troy Aikman for the same. Yeah. Same conversation. Involved with the Dolphins, but on TV.
But these
TV.
Aren't majority owners. These no. are guys who own like less than 5%.
And they're not even really scandals because no. the NFL has kind of handled it. I do want to talk about Aikman at some point yeah. this week, but the NFL has handled it. But whether it's, you know, the Ray Rices or throwing down women on beds of guns and stuff like that, they have been able to tell their people, focus on football. Mm-hmm. When I turn on the NFL Network, it's someone breaking down a Sauce Gardner and cover two defense. When I turn on NBA TV, it's, you know, Luca's ex-wife wanting child support.
Again, who is ESPN hiring and who's out there?
So why
as
isn't
the face
he,
of your league?
Why doesn't Adam Silver just go to Goodell and say, "Hey man, how do you do this? How do I wrangle my TV people in?" Because Kenny and Shaq and Charles, those are like the only ones that want to talk ball, mm-hmm. and they don't even talk ball that much.
Think about it real quick. Who's the face of NFL Network?
I don't know because I don't watch it.
Eisen.
Rich Eisen. Yeah.
Where'd he come from?
ESPN. He's a four-letter.
It's like, get the guy, get somebody in the freaking studio that's gonna be your face.
Oh man, dude, let me talk to you about baseball. MLB Network, all they do is talk baseball.
Yes.
Then they goof off sometimes and talk about
Buster
stadium food.
Or Timmy, like, just go down the list of, like, you just Brian Kenny, just go down the list. And yeah. guess where they all came from?
BK only wants to talk about baseball.
Yes, and it's just like,
Adnan Virk only wants to talk about baseball.
And it's like, meanwhile, at ESPN, you know, NBA Today, it's Kendrick freaking Perkins.
Yeah.
It's like, come.
Or it's I got to listen to Ryan Clark talk to me about the NBA. I don't want that.
No.
I
or
don't
Stephen
wanna
A.
hear, I don't want to hear a football guy talk. Stephen A, I'll give him some credit. He is a little bit of a basketball
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I know, but it's like.
Well, I know, he's obnoxious.
But that's not who you want as your face.
No.
Their ability to control narratives and control their owners, and just, it's just. Everyone knows that they can step all over Adam Silver.
Who's the face of college football? McAfee? Nick Saban? Kirk Herbstreit?
Kirby.
Okay, Herbie?
Kirk and Reese.
Pick one of those three. Pick the whole board.
What do they talk about all the time?
Football. Football and pageantry.
Yeah.
They prop up the game.
And Pat will take on the scandals, and then he'll have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. They don't talk about, you know, why NIL and transfer portal sucks on game day. No, they talk about, we're here in Tuscaloosa and Alabama's been down. And Saban, what do you think about DeBoer's tenure? And he's like, well, the defensive line has got to get better and they're not running the football. Chuck, what does the NBA got to do to get better? Well, they got to stop being dumbasses, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay.
But still, right. at least.
All right.
The number of times, look, we can all laugh at Chuck and all the things that come along with that. But at the same time, Chuck will tell you. Shaq will tell you. Kenny will tell you. Ernie will sit there and go, guys, we like checks. We like checks. Come on. But it's like, they'll at least say it. Meanwhile, you've got guys out there on the NBA's like, well, they're actually doing this because this guy just isn't liked and he's being persecuted. It's like, nah, man, he's a pain in the ass. Everybody in the league knows it.
My issue with the NBA is the NBA hypes up brands more than they hype up ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
They'll back Shaq, Kenny, Chuck, who are so far or 20 years removed from playing the game of basketball and not prop up the guys who are on their way to starting media careers.
Hey man,
that's my biggest issue with the NBA.
And we're guilty of it ourselves on this program, Danny. You know how much time we should be spending on the Portland Trailblazers having five guards
mm-hmm.
and the two starters most likely don't play defense?
Why are we not?
Because it's just drama.
No. It's not because it's just drama. It's because we've got ownership nonsense.
Let's stick with some of that ownership issues. We'll go to the desert. Matt Ishbia might be in a little bit of trouble, and he might not be the only one. Mark Walters, more news on that. A little more NBA right here on The Fan, 105.1 FM. NBA coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Let me tease you this. Imagine if the NBA does so much damage to themselves that Major League Baseball jumps them. Heaven forbid the NHL jumps.
Won't.
I know. That's what I always wonder about the NFL when they kind of cram stuff down your throat and you get a little. The 24-hour news cycle of the NFL can be a little exhausting at some times.
Doesn't matter.
I know. But to me, sometimes I'm like, when does the NHL. There's got to be a breaking point at some point. Now, they may never get there,
no. But
it's like there's a number for everything.
Well, here's the thing, like, particularly with hockey. I again, I know
you can't go out back and play hockey.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, well, Carolina won and Florida was, I'm not.
You can play catch with your dad. You can shoot hoops with your dad.
Yes,
you like, can't. You can't go back and play hockey with your dad.
Hockey will never be there, and I'm not saying that to be anti-hockey. It's just we're not in Canada. We're not in Sweden. We're not in Iceland. Like, we just don't have the climate for that. Like, if you're like, I lived in North Dakota, man. Like, University of North Dakota is one of the best hockey college programs in the country, and it's, if you look at their roster every year, it's like half the roster is from Grand Forks. It's like, yeah, dude, when you can do that all year long, yeah, it's a thing that works. But on the baseball side of things, I don't think it's, I think you, as much as basketball is regional to an extent, it's still national. It's still national. And I don't think baseball's ever going to get back to being national. I think it'll be the overwhelmingly dominant regional sport.
Sure, sure.
Overwhelming.
Them in college football, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking of the Big Four.
Like, yeah.
There's just something about that. And the NBA still has it.
I think I might push back on it because I think the issue with baseball is not as popular as the other sports in America, but globally, and go down south, baseball is everywhere.
But baseball's not looking to expand globally. The NBA is.
Correct.
NBA is trying to start up, and I'm trying, they're starting up a league in Europe. And again, I'll reference this number over and over again. NBA China is 700 million people who are basketball, like, into it. Like, that is always
going to... Wait, you know China has, like, 3 billion people,
I know,
right?
But...
Oh, they're viewers.
700 million.
Wow.
But is it crazy to think that, again, the top global sports leagues by revenue, according to Front Office Sports, NFL is 19 to 22 billion, NBA is 12 to 13, and MLB is 11 to 12.
Oh, on the revenue side? Yeah.
Is that crazy to think that they make the jump revenue side if the basketball product becomes
unbearable
as it's been?
That's all I'm asking.
No. I know what you're saying, and maybe this is my ignorance, and maybe it's my bias to covering the league for a decade and a half, but I don't ever see baseball going global the way the NBA can.
I agree, and I don't think they'll ever pass the NBA. But these are the steps you take if you want someone to pass you by.
Well, yeah,
this is the ignorance that you use.
It's not baseball growing,
right?
It's basketball kneecapping.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not about baseball being more popular, as someone said on the YouTube chat. MLS passed them. Look, I don't think that will actually happen. But if you want it to happen, this is kind of how you do it.
I mean, when you have ownership like this, scandal, and again, this is why the ownership changeover, I would say, probably of the last decade. Where when Paul Allen was alive and was kind of running the NBA ownership group, as it were, most of those owners, even the ones that came in later, they still gave a damn about basketball. Mm-hmm. The Adelsons and Dumont and Dallas, they don't give a crap about basketball.
No. This is where you actually miss the Buss family.
Like, to an extent, he gave up. Remember, Jerry Buss gave up and risked everything to buy the Lakers. Jerry Jones, as much of a pain in the butt as he is, loves football and loves the Cowboys. You can just go down the list, but as these new owners are coming in, they're not looking at it as like, I want to own this football team, basketball team, baseball team because I love this game or I love this team. They're like, this looks like a good investment.
And that's where some things are getting a little wild. From the Wall Street Journal, about Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, is reported that he lost $600 million and needed a rescue float. He is a mortgage lender, quote-unquote, the America's mortgage king.
Yeah, United Allied Mortgage.
He used his wealth to buy the Phoenix Suns for $4 billion.
Which is a then record.
And now that he is losing money, they are worried that he may have to sell the team due to it. And while we can get into that, the question I ask is, that's what's dangerous about selling to these certain people, is how they made their money.
Not only how they
his
made money,
money is
he risked and leveraged his money.
Understood.
And it bit him. But no, you're right to an extent to what you're saying here. It's that they opened themselves up to volatility, which is when you get to the Mark Walter, Guggenheim, TWG Global, like that stuff. Like that might end up being a bigger scandal than the Clippers.
Well, because like you said, with Jerry Buss, okay, puts everything on the line to buy the Lakers, okay? That's real cash. These guys made their money off extremely volatile stuff.
And predatory.
And, well, definitely predatory, but also volatile, like stock market and escrow and hedge fund and all that stuff, dude. Sure, you can hit and peak like a Steve Cohen and buy the Mets, but it sounds like Ishbia is like playing with a little bit of fake money. Like, does anybody really know what Elon Musk is worth? Nobody knows, because a lot of it is like, well, it depends on where the stock market
is
that day.
SpaceX and all
of what those values are, to where I think a lot of those previous owners, the Paul Allens of the world, for example,
Ballmer had money.
Yeah. These guys have concepts of money.
Yes.
And that is a very dangerous place to be when you're selling franchises at a huge level. Like Bezos just bought into my Liverpool squad. Okay. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not the biggest Bezos guy in the world. I'm sure that's no surprise to anybody. But I know Bezos has real money. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Ishbia does. I don't know if Walters does.
This is the thing.
I don't know if Tom Dundon does.
He doesn't.
You know, but I mean, like, because a lot of their money is so volatile and so fluid and up one day and down the next day.
Dundon is mostly, well, I shouldn't say mostly. He was higher up, like most of his money was more liquid until he bought everything else because he sold off things.
Mm-hmm. So then that is real money.
But he had to sell off 12% of his stake in the Carolina Hurricanes just to have the money necessary to get the necessary threshold to own the amount that he does with the Blazers. And guess what? It ain't that much.
Yeah.
$850 million of $4.25 billion. That's not even a quarter, guys. And if you're talking about, he's got $850 million there, another $500 million or $600 million in the Hurricanes, and he's worth $2.5 billion. Do the math.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Ishbia, and this is what kind of goes over to Walter and the Dodgers owe almost $2 billion over the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the necessary liquidity to put money into escrow to cover that. That's the whole point. Like the NFL, like the Patrick Mahomes contract. Yeah, it's like, oh, the Chiefs got this great deal with Mahomes, and they stretched out over this, all this period of time. Guess what? You still got to put money in escrow.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
They did, but it's like, now all of a sudden, is that a limiting factor for them?
The Hunt family is good.
Yeah,
that,
so. I know. But I'm saying, like, to be able to do that, you have to have liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Like when Victor Wembanyama comes up for that contract in year 9, and he can make $100 million going into year 10, and he can make $100 million a year.
Be the first guy ever.
There's one of there's maybe four teams that can nail that number.
Like, you have to have the money to put aside.
New York, Miami. Lakers.
And Miami's not even in that.
Clippers.
Arison almost lost everything in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's made a bunch of it back for those. He's a cruise line magnet for the guys that don't know. Fertitta with the Rockets, he got crushed too. Like this, the funny money stuff, man, and the price of franchises, like private equity and VC has to be in it because stuff's selling for $10, $8, $10, $12 billion.
Yankees, Celtics.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about it. We pushed that to today or tomorrow. The whole private equity investment in the Yankees, man. Like, you're talking about the Yankees and the Lakers have sold in the last month. That's nuts.
To an extent. Yankees are still owned by Steinbrenners.
Well,
they are. It's an investment.
Okay.
It's an investment.
Let's see what that.
Just saying.
I want to see what that call looks like in a year.
Yeah.
$2 billion coming in. I'm like,
well, Yankees fans have been asking Steinbrenner to spend money for years. He's just not spending his own.
Yeah. No, well, he bought their debt. The PE group bought the debt. I'm like, oh, so what happens when I make calls on that debt? You got cash to go ahead and go into that? Because you're out if you don't.
A couple things I want to read here. Your thoughts on the text line, 503-864-6326, or over on the YouTube chat. In 2 years, Matt Ishbia and Mark Walter have made James Dolan look like a savvy owner. Who would have thought? And that's what I'm kind of saying. Like, be careful of these owners.
Well, Dolan is also cash rich.
Yes, yes. He bought them. His money that he used to buy the Knicks was not volatile.
He also has
real
MSG
money.
Properties, and which includes not only the television network, but also the Sphere.
Like, and then Bo on the YouTube chat says, the one thing I'll give Dundon credit for, has always stated winning is the main priority for him. Obviously cares about making money, but the messaging has always been about winning. Now, we can debate that from a Tom Dundon standpoint, but I never heard Mark Walter say, we're going to win championships. It's like, so proud to be part of the Laker community and the Los Angeles and owning this team and bringing it to bigger and higher levels. You mean making more money. Bob Iger and Josh Kushner are going to do the same thing. Bob Iger is a Knicks fan who became a Clippers fan when he moved to L.A. That guy's not even a Laker fan.
Yeah.
They're just like, we are so proud to be a part of this Los Angeles community, and we can't wait to get bigger and better things for the Los Angeles
Lakers.
Remember,
3 weeks ago, that same ownership group was trying to buy FIFA.
Yes, yes.
Because it's an investment.
You're proud to be a part of the Lakers community to make the Lakers a bigger and better brand so you make more money.
I will
give Dunnan some credit. He may be lying, but at least the message is always about winning. And Ishbia was kind of like that too with the Suns.
Oh, no, he came in and spent a crap ton of money.
Yeah, he's like, I love ball. I went to Michigan State. Don't you know? I was a walk-on for Tom Izzo. Like, everybody knows, buddy.
But if these owners start creating fires where fires don't need to be had, does Adam Silver look around and go, oh, but we have Tom Dunnan who really cares about basketball over here? Is that his scapegoat of saying that I bring in these new sets of owners? And
if you're pointing to Tom Dunnan, I think you're doing yourself a disservice.
What has Adam Silver continuously done?
I knew you were going to say that. I think this is
Adam Silver we're talking
about. The only thing I think that sale, the Lakers sale, and now the next Lakers sale, and the Celtics sale, I think the only thing they care about, and the Suns sale, I think the only thing they care about is valuation. Mm-hmm. This whole idea of like vetting and going through all this stuff, who gets what money?
Sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, they're just saying, can we get a group in here that's going to get a valuation to a certain point? I think that's genuinely all they care about.
You know, an interesting thing about this too is, remember how scared we all were of Saudi money coming in and buying franchises?
Oh, it's coming.
I know, but Saudis, they put money in their teams. Mm-hmm. Like, look at Man City.
Look at every Premier League team.
When the Saudis bought Man City,
every soccer team they have.
They have like 7 Premier League titles and a Champions League, including a treble. Like,
and even on the bad side of it, they went and got freaking Ronaldo. You know what I mean? Like, the Saudi League said, hey, Cristiano Ronaldo, here's $200 million. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They'll put money into stuff. Now, here's the thing about the Saudi money, though. You don't need to question whether it's good or bad.
You
know it's bad.
You know they literally print cash.
Yes. It's like, guys, we know where that money's coming from. And I'll tell you this, too. It ain't funny. It's all real. And that's the allure. And that scares the crap out of me. Because then the soul of the game is gone.
Right. The only thing that scares me more is this team being ranked 15th overall again. College football AP poll was listed. Let's take a palate cleanser. Maybe we'll circle back in the Big Nooner on this. That's Lowercase with Sports. Web Jam's coming up next. Everybody's favorite. We do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the Big Nooner, we might circle back in on this NBA ownership situation. There's a little bit of baseball to get into there as well. But the AP poll was released. We want to switch over to college football, give ourselves a little palate cleanser here. Some interesting stuff in this. We'll get to the thing that you and I keep screaming to the heavens about. The most fascinating thing, Danny, that I took from this top 10, real quick, Ohio State 1, Oregon 2, Georgia 3, then Notre Dame, Texas, Indiana, Miami, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma rounds out your top 10.
Otherwise known as the coaches poll, just flipping Ole Miss and Oklahoma.
Basically. The interesting thing that I have in this, and I think it was that way in the coaches poll too, is there's Georgia at 3 with no first place votes. There's Texas at 5 with no first place votes, yet Notre Dame at 6, at 4 has 6, Indiana at 6 has 8. They have 8 first place votes.
That tells you how far apart people are in Indiana. You're
exactly.
Either in or you're not.
And Miami's got 1. Mm-hmm. I think I find that really, really interesting, and I wonder if at the end of the year, Texas and Georgia, by being as level-headed as I guess everybody mm-hmm. says they are without being number 1, will work to their benefit.
Well,
less pressure, I guess.
There's not only that, you also have Ohio State getting, 40? And then the drop to Oregon, they have, 12.
14,
like,
yeah.
40, it's like, damn! Like, there's... People
I don't think...
They're that big of a gap?
I don't think the gap is that big between Oregon and Ohio State. And I know Duck Homer alert, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I have real questions about Ohio State. I have less questions about Oregon.
I probably the same.
Ohio State might be more talented, but I have less questions about Oregon than I do Ohio State.
I probably have the same amount of questions.
For both?
For both.
Okay. I just don't know what the continuity looks like on this Ohio State team because they graduated
Ditto.
So much talent.
Ditto. It's the D-line that I'm curious about.
With
the
that being said.
Itself, yeah.
What about the year before?
I know. They always
when
do
they
this.
They sent the entire front to the NFL.
I know. They always do this. They always do this.
I despise that program. They're the currently the best grabber of talent in the country.
Most likely.
As far as the highest end talent.
Who
like,
came out of that first batch of Ohio State?
That whole front four.
I'm just...
Chase Young? What are you talking about?
I'm thinking of name them, because I... Other than Chase Young, I can't think of who else.
Oh, and I'm talking about them going to the NFL.
I'm just trying to think of, other than Chase Young, who else went... and had successful careers. Because
successful?
That I don't know, but they're still going high. They are still acquiring massive amounts of talent. But that leads to the question, which is why Ryan Day, honestly and deserved, gets a little bit of criticism. Because he's always got the talent. He's always got the talent. And Kirby's going to get this way, too, if he doesn't rattle one off here in a few years. We've already left Dabo for dead. Okay, we've already left Dabo for dead because in the new world, he can't adapt.
Yeah, the year before, Ohio State put 14 players in the NFL in 2025. 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and they did that last year. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not talking about what they do in the NFL. I'm just talking about what they push out each and every year. Currently, there's no better college football to NFL pipeline than Ohio State. Now, what they do in the NFL varies, very much so. But you know, Dirt and I had this argument, you know, last year about Oregon, is the whole idea of like what they were bringing back and what they weren't. And I was like, I think they're going to lose two. I do.
And they lost two.
No. One of those ended up being in the playoffs and very, very, very badly. But
Danny keeps receipts.
Yeah, well. But also, like, to Dirt's credit, Oregon did get, like, they did replace what they lost. But Ohio State has done this for years, especially under Ryan Day. Like, so if I'm going to give benefit of the doubt of like, well, Ohio State lost some, I'm like, well, Oregon's done this once, and Ohio State's done this for 8 years. Like, they just keep doing this.
The number one thing that Danny and I cannot understand or put our wrap our minds around, look, I can sit here and talk to you about UW and Penn State all I want. The concept of Michigan continuously being ranked in the top 15. They're 16th in the AP poll for my argument, whatever.
In the coaches.
Same thing. This I will never understand.
I don't get it.
Everybody has said Bryce Underwood's a bust. Nobody likes him. I mean, are we just putting that much equity in Kyle Whittingham? Look, we are Kyle Whittingham guys on this show. We are very, very pro Kyle Whittingham. That doesn't mean I'm pro the talent that is on Michigan currently.
It's not that I'm against necessarily the talent. I'm just like wondering what it's going to be because, and again, talking about, you know, guys that go on to the NFL, they haven't had a shortage of those guys.
No, no, no. Michigan collects talent very well.
When your quarterback, again, is still trying to reinvent the forward pass.
Program is trying to reinvent the forward pass.
So it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can buy that. Like,
you want to talk about J.J. McCarthy again?
No. But again, that team also had Blake Corum.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just kind of go down like Michigan's
defense.
Who's
the tight end? The guy that's at
Loveland.
Yeah. Yeah, in Chicago.
Yeah, they've got dudes. There's no doubt about that. But like,
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, I mean, again, they've got talent. There's no doubt about that. But like, I look at them, I go, that's the 15th best, 16th best team in the country?
You want to play the game?
Yeah.
Let's play the game.
You want to play the game?
Let's play the game.
They open with Western Michigan.
Win.
W.
They will host Oklahoma.
Loss.
I'll take that as a loss.
I'll take that.
Then they have UTEP.
Win.
They host 22nd ranked Iowa.
Host Iowa?
Host Iowa. Toss up.
I'll give it to Michigan.
I will give it to Michigan as well. They're at Minnesota.
It's a win.
They host number 18, Penn State.
Host. I'll give them a win. No, I won't. I'm going to take Penn State in that. I'm going to go with better offense there.
I think they're losing to Iowa.
I know.
Iowa will out Iowa Michigan in the same way that Michigan wants to Iowa Michigan.
If it's at Iowa, I'm 100% taking Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Then they host Indiana.
It's a loss.
Then they're at Rutgers.
Win.
Then they host Michigan State.
Win.
Then they're at Oregon.
Nope.
Nope.
Then they host UCLA.
Oh, UCLA. Yeah, okay. That's a win.
And then they're at the Horseshoe.
Seven wins.
That's the 15th, 16th ranked team in college football?
Yeah. No.
Are they the team in the top 25 at the beginning of the year that falls out?
Yes.
Is there anybody else on this list?
I think you can make an argument for Tennessee, even though I like Tennessee more. I like Heupel.
I would make the argument for Penn State. The problem is that their schedule is doo-doo.
Oh, their schedule is buns. Buns. And it's always easy to pick teams that are in the 20 through 25 to have them fall out. But if you're talking about teams that are in the top 20, Michigan's there. Where's SMU at?
SMU is 19.
So they're right on the edge. I think you can say SMU, but their schedule's a little bit easier. Just because ACC of it all. I'm sticking with Ole Miss. I'm going to stick with LSU. It's against my better judgment, but I'm going to stick with them.
Mine might be Alabama.
I'm not going to go against DeBoer.
Top 10? Anybody in your top 10? I think the easiest one to put money on, it might not work.
It's SEC.
I think the easiest one might be Indiana, honestly. If you're taking that discrepancy, if you're one of those people that doesn't think they're going to do that thing again, that could be your one.
I think Sig's the best coach in college football right now.
But so I think it's an SEC. It's an SEC team. It's probably A&M, Ole Miss, probably one of those teams.
And it's not just because they're further down. It's just because the thing of note to me, guess what the SEC didn't get? A single first-place vote.
Nope. Not one.
They're telling you the SEC's deeper, but they're telling you the Big Ten's better at the top, which is something we have said over and over again.
Georgia, Texas, A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, LSU, Alabama.
I would not be surprised Tennessee, to see Texas drop out of the top 10.
Missouri. Nine SEC teams
nine
in the
top
25.
And guess what? They can't be there.
No, they can't.
That's half the conference.
They all play each other.
So, as I was saying, it's very easy to be honest, to take three SEC teams out, like right out, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Well, yeah, Missouri, I think they're going to have a tough run.
Yeah.
Tennessee, yeah, they're 20th. Yeah. I mean, you lose two games, you're out.
And I think one of those teams in the top 10, whether it's Ole Miss, Oklahoma, or Georgia, one of the top four of the top 10 teams are SEC.
I think Texas moves out of the top 10. Their schedule is ridiculous.
Their schedule is ridiculous. I think I'm going to ride Oklahoma this year, and I think you all know why.
Yeah, well, let's see how well that's worked out for you. Oh, there you go.
I mean, that's why I wear short shorts. I mean, them legs.
Yeah, bro, let's go.
Okay, so we can add Oklahoma to the list as well.
Anything I like, you know that they'll go down.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it on the board.
John Mateer is now dead.
Yeah, John Mateer was in a 35-car accident. Yeah,
gunned down in his prime.
WebGems is next. Everybody's favorite. 105.1 The Fan, the Fan Sports Network. All right, this is everybody's favorite WebGems. Do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the big nooner. Well, let's see. We can get to some Ben Johnson comments, which are always fascinating. I want to talk to you about a baseball player's historic season this year. Yes, I already made some fun of swag for that. Maybe we can talk some more NBA ownership stuff.
No shortage of stupid going around.
Hey, man, I feel better being a Blazer fan right now.
Do you?
I do. Yeah, do man. You? Compared to those other dudes.
He doesn't have the money to cheat.
But WebGems comes to you by way of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. There is a new bill being introduced called the Home Run for Anaheim Act. Now, 5 months later, this bill has cleared both House and state legislature without a vote against it, a single vote, which means the governor, Gavin Newsom, will most likely sign it in law. The bill does not mandate the Angels, playing under a Los Angeles name in Anaheim City-owned stadium, revert to the Anaheim Angels name. However, As all sports seek to boost profits by surrounding venues with shops, restaurants, hotels, and other attractions, this bill provides Anaheim with an inducement for the Angels. If the city obtains an exemption from a state law requiring affordable housing to be prioritized in any such development, then the team must be called the Anaheim Angels. And if they don't, Artie Moreno can get out of the lease in 2032 and move the team.
What are we doing?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man.
We suck again.
Because guess what else the Anaheim Angels need? Well, they need a lot of money to update that stadium.
I think it's other than like the traditional powerhouse, like birthed in baseball lore, you know, Wrigley, Fenway. I believe it's the oldest operating baseball stadium in the league.
Pulling it up right now.
Didn't they have rats in their food court earlier this year?
Dude, Angel Stadium is a dump.
I'm pulling it up.
Dude, it's the same stadium that I went to as a kid in the 80s.
So,
and it was 25 years old then. It was built in 60, wasn't it?
I'm walking through it right now. You said the big ones, so I'm just going to go through the big ones. Fenway is the oldest, 1912. Mm-hmm. Wrigley, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Dodger Stadium, 62.
Mm-hmm.
Angel Stadium, 66.
66. It's old as can be. And here's the thing, man. Chavez Ravine is dope. And they've done
a lot of
renovations around it. And, you know, locality, view, all those kind of things. Look, the parking lot and getting in and out of Chavez, it's just a hellscape. It's absolutely diabolical. There's one way in, one way out, and it's a nightmare. Beyond that, game day experience, great. The view, great. Everything about it, other than being like kind of old-timey and you can't really do a ton to it, great. Angel Stadium, hell on earth?
On April 22nd, 2026, Orange County Health Inspector shut down a single concession stand, view level section 432 at Angel Stadium, after finding rodent droppings in five locations and a small ceiling hole.
Sick.
The permit was suspended. The area was cleaned, reinspected, and cleared to reopen.
It's right there, right off the freeway, smack dab in the middle of everything. So the location part of it's cool. Like when you drive through LA, you see it. Like it's right there. But it's also, it's in a part of town. It's not great. It has, you want to talk about like investing in the community and all those things around it? It ain't great, Bob. Like you go through Denver where, you know, the Metroplex is like all off the freeway. You've got Mile High and you've got Coors and everything. It's cool. It's nice. They've redone it. Like that whole area has been redone. That's not Angel Stadium. Angels, like, who was it? There was a pitcher like a month ago. Was like, this is the worst mound in baseball. Like he, like it just went crazy about it. Like it's, there, it's the Washington Commanders. It's RFK-esque. Like it's crappy.
Mizorowski.
It was Miz. Yeah, Miz was like, this is terrible, man. There's nothing like Fenway's old as hell, and you go through there, and it's like, it's old timey, and it has this, and it sucks. But it has the
and it will flood.
Yeah, but it has its history. Wrigley, not my jam, but you know the ivy and all, you know, being smack dab in the middle of the city and the streets on the, over the fences and the bleachers, like. You know, I went to old Yankee Stadium. It was crappy, but it has all the nostalgia and everything baked in. There's nothing nostalgic about Angel Stadium. It sucks. It's just a giant cavern.
The next oldest is Kauffman Stadium. Funny enough, they're building a new stadium.
Yeah, weird.
The next is the Rogers Center in Toronto, where they have put a ton of money into that. But that was opened in 89. Chicago, Wright Field was 91. It was Wright Field when it was open. Yeah. Camden Yards is going to be Camden Yards for a long time.
Dude, we just that, walked yeah, by that, that in that December. Place, tell me how dope that was.
That place isn't going to change. No. They're going to keep Camden Yards there. For funsies, this article also says who has the most home runs in each stadium. Mm-hmm. Who has the most home runs in Fenway Park? Play a little fun game here.
It's Poppy.
It's
not Poppy.
I was the same. Ooh. I was the same Manny.
Mm. Go way back.
Oh, we're going way back?
Way back.
Oh, is it a Yankee?
No.
Oh.
It is a Red Sox.
Okay.
Probably the most famous Boston Red Sox of all time.
Oh, Babe Ruth.
No. Wow, what a
see
shot.
What I did there?
What a shot at Red Sox fans. No, it's Ted.
Is it Ted? Okay.
It's Ted Williams at 248. Wrigley Field, a contemporary player.
Wrigley. It's not Sammy. Cause
it's Sammy Sosa.
Sammy? Okay.
Dodger Stadium. This is dated because this is no longer correct.
Is it a Dodger?
It is a Dodger.
Is it Kemp?
No.
Whew.
They have it listed as Eric Karros.
Oh, okay.
Except for I believe he was just passed by a man named Shohei.
Yeah. Already.
Ah, right.
I believe so.
Correct.
Or it's Freddie. I don't remember.
I believe Shohei broke it this past week.
Angel Stadium? Who's the greatest angel of all time?
Well,
Mike Trout.
It's Mike Trout. Yeah. Kauffman Stadium?
I know what you're trying to do there. He played in
Anaheim.
That?
Did you see that? Yeah.
But it's also, you know.
That was the last time I was in that stadium.
Yes.
See, that's tough.
Mike Trout has 204 home runs at home.
That place is a canyon.
God, yeah. He finds the rock wall.
Kauffman Stadium is George Brett.
That's not a surprise.
Rogers Center, Carlos Delgado. Oof. Chicago White Sox, Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
Camden Yards, Adam Jones. Mariner legend.
Really?
Progressive Field, Jim Thome. Coors, Todd Helton.
Oh, it's Helton, huh? Mm-hmm. I would have thought it would have been Larry.
Well, Larry Walker. He spent a lot of time in Montreal first.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, RIP the Anaheim Angels.
So we're attaching housing to stadium deals now.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Also, that old Angels hat slaps.
Angels in the outfield?
Angels in the outfield. Yeah. That hat slaps.
Yeah, but like,
move them to Portland. We'll take them.
I just don't understand the idea of like
attaching. I want a baseball team so bad, I'll take Artie Moreno.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want
to take him on the roster pre-trade deadline.
Yes, me too.
Give me Joe Adell.
Me too. When we come back, let's get a little more ownership talk in the NBA. Is there any way to solve this problem? One more hour to go, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM.